podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Yeah, if you want him, get him in. He's going to start. He's going to start both games.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody, my name's James. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. And of course, ahead of Double Game Week 34, we've got a couple of correspondents on looking forward to their double, and they're going to tell you which are the best free assets from their clubs. Or are they both on the beach? Firstly, let me introduce you to our Wolverhampton correspondent, Bradley Parker. How are you, Bradley?
I'm good here.
Yeah, very well. Thank you, mate. And our Bournemouth correspondent, Neil Grover's in. How are you, Neil?
Doing well, thank you. Thank you for having me again.
Good stuff. Bradley, are you on the beach? Is it season over?
Feels like it's fizzling out a little bit, but we're getting some players back now, so we're getting more of a threat again now. So probably still give teams a good game, but the season is going to start fizzling out a little bit.
Do you feel like if you'd had Huang, Cunha, Neto over the last 6 weeks or so, you genuinely be pushing for Europe here?
Yeah, probably, because I don't think there's been many games, to be honest, where they've all started together. They're on a roll to who gets injured, I think.
Neto the most, unfortunately.
Neto has the most annual leave, yeah.
And Mr. Grover, is it Bournemouth season petered out? I mean, you're in decent form, but is it none and nothing to play for?
I think the current carrot we've got is beating our points record.
And what's that for reference?
45.
You'll beat that, surely,
yeah,
won't you?
So they want to do that, but I think ninth, which was the highest we've ever come, I think that might be a bridge too far. But there's something, and they showed against United they're not on the beach yet.
I wouldn't say eighth is unreachable, but tough. It's beginning to look like eighth probably won't be enough for Europe, I get the impression. It could still be for a Conference League prize. I only mention eighth in the sense of if Chelsea are on a bad run, and we have to say we're pre-recording prior to Chelsea's game with Everton, and I guess if West Ham wet the bed. West Ham particularly got tough fixtures, but Chelsea not quite so much. There's some tough ones in there, but obviously got additional fixtures from the time of recording. So you'll definitely beat the 45, Neil. We're 3 points off with six to go, couple of very winnable home games. You should do that, mate.
We should. Although we lost like the last six in a row at the end of the last season, so who knows?
Is it almost feel like a little bit of a time of reflection at this stage as well, considering the mess you were in after sort of nine games or so?
Yeah, I mean, I look back on it and go, that's the biggest what if of the season. Like if things had clicked a little bit sooner, had things, you know, maybe we picked up even one or two wins in that nine where we possibly should have done, even though it was a tough start, then we would still be looking at you'd have one eye on that eighth and thinking that's very much there. But you know, it isn't to be, and I think we've set ourselves right up for next year.
It goes the other way though, doesn't it? If that Burnley goal had counted,
oh yeah, sure, we wouldn't have. Well, yeah, like we said several times, I don't think we'd have Areola now.
It's remarkable that, isn't it? And for yourself, Brad, have you kind of taken the time to take stock and reflect on idiots like me predicting you to go down in pre-season?
I think it's been quite refreshing this season on the goals front. Like just the way the play is a lot more aggressive, I'd say, rather than trying to react to the opposition, it's more take the game to them. And I think defensively, though, we started to look quite a bit wobbly. But I think
has that come about through changes, like Dawson's
been out
of the
team? I think it's about Dawson. I don't think none of the back three speak to each other. I don't think when I watch him, like, Kilman's quite quiet. He just doesn't speak. There's none of that authority. Like, Santi Bueno's new to the club, and he's going to be quite quiet anyway. Totti just gets on with it, but nobody yet really, you can tell there's no sort of, like, order. Like, Dawson will, he's always talking. If you watch him, he's always talking. He's telling Kilman where to be. So, because Kilman being captain is, like, one of the strangest topics at the club, to be honest. I don't think no supporter sees him as the captain.
It's not such a big deal who wears the armband now. You're more like a representation of the football club rather than an on-field leader, I think, quite often. And reflect on that with Heung-min Son's my captain, right? So it's the same. You don't look at him as like an authoritative leader, this kind of Tony Adams, John Terry type or player of the past, for example. It doesn't matter so much now. But yeah, when you was talking, I was thinking, is Kilman captain? And I was questioning it in my head. I was like, I'm not sure, actually. I don't know that. Yeah, he doesn't strike you as the type. I know what you mean by that. Who's yours, Nick?
Yes, to
Neto.
See, that also feels a strange one, I felt, on the outside, but you might correct me on that.
No, I think he's well respected, and he is, he's quite vocal. I think it's perhaps saved him a few times, being captain as opposed to not being captain, but that's another debate. But yeah, I think it's less strange than Kelly, because Kelly was the captain before, and that was a bit weird at times. He didn't feel like he had any real presence back there.
So you think, based on that, I guess you're referring to the fact you think Neto could have come out the team a couple of times if he wasn't captain, essentially.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Bradley, is there any target from here, from a points? Nils kind of suggested there's a points total, as a minimum of something to reach for. Is this something for yourselves? Are you looking at like a top 10 finish or...?
Yeah, I'd probably say just a top 10 finish would be very, very, very successful. It's going to be a big what if, but we've got to work with what we've got now. So just got to take it on the chin.
Okay. I think most of the listeners this week are very much in for looking for probably a detailed analysis of FPL assets for your clubs going into this week. But I want to ask you first about opposition players. And Bradley, in the first instance, I want to ask you about Arsenal. How many Arsenal players you got going into this week?
Two.
So you obviously play them this weekend. Most will have three Arsenal, I think, because of their double. Are you likely to add a third? Or are you going without because it's against your team?
I'll probably just stick with a two.
Okay. Neil, Arsenal coverage?
Two.
So, what strategy are you on, Bradley?
Turn up and see how it goes strategy.
basically, you're not free hitting and you're not bench boosting, basically.
No, I don't think I'll bench boost. My bench is built just to be crap this week, to be honest. When I looked at the fixtures, I just fodder to shove there for everybody else.
And Neil, strategy for you?
Bench boosting.
Bench boosting. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm interested. Are you an Ollie Watkins owner?
No, but I think I might be shortly. Yeah, I'm not at the moment. Not at the moment is the answer.
Okay. Ollie Watkins obviously plays yourselves at the weekend. Mm-hmm. Do you think free hitters are going to completely overlook him this weekend, and should they?
So, yeah, I mean, we're always going to... Yeah, I mean, we've not been the best at keeping stuff out. He scored a fantastic goal against us at home as well. I mean, I think I'm actually, it's one of the games that I'm really looking forward to, because I could see it, and this is going to be commentator's curse here, I could see it being somewhere like a 3-3 ridiculous game where both teams just go at each other, because I think that's how both teams are set up. I think they're both fairly weak defensively, I think is fair, or have gaps defensively, but both have two fantastic strikers in form that are trying to one-up each other, I suppose.
Your striker, Neil, Dominic Solanke.
Mm-hmm.
I take it you've got.
Yes.
You got Bradley?
Yeah, I've had him for quite a bit.
You got any other Bournemouth Bradley?
No.
Just wanted to check that half your FPL team wasn't going up against Wolves this week. That would have been quite ironic. On Solanke, Neil, I made a comment on Monday's podcast that he's a certainty for me. I'm free hitting this week. I can't see me not going there unless there's something to spook me. Am I right, though, in what I said, that he looked like he was in pain every minute of the game on Saturday?
Yeah, I think a certain amount of it is... So there's another one of the things you said was about Semenyo. There is I think it's the shits going around at the moment, frankly.
Okay, because Chris Metham's had him particularly bad, hasn't he?
Yeah, and Semenyo played 45 minutes since Palace, but probably shouldn't have done. Because there was a whole thing in the build up to that game of he was on the bench, then he wasn't on the bench, then he was on the bench again. because he was, you know, trying to work out what he's doing. I wonder if there's a little bit of that with Solanke as well. That
what,
maybe
so
he's
rather
not...
than being injured, he's trying to not shit himself on the pitch.
Well, no, more that maybe. I mean, we've all had a dodgy tummy before, and it's not the most comfortable thing, right? So maybe he's trying not to cause an issue. But I do think there's still some knee issues there. But I think he's incredibly motivated to try and get himself in the best possible position that should one of these other strikers not be available to Southgate, he's on the plane. I don't think he's on the plane if Tony and Watkins are fit, but
well,
you know, if one of them isn't.
On Sky's coverage on Saturday, they were doing this whole big deal after the game of Solanke versus Tony or Watkins and who should go. And that's thinking, well, with all due respect, this is a bit irrelevant putting Solanke in the conversation, because just purely whether you think he should go or not, Southgate's not going to just suddenly pick him now because he didn't for the last squad. It would only maybe be a scenario, I think, probably if both Tony and Watkins were unavailable. Mm. Is it therefore also a case to say that in terms of protecting him longer term, if he's been carrying this problem for a long time, should he not get it sorted and be ready for August?
I mean, there's an argument there, but I do also think that he's an incredibly self-motivated individual. He does keep coming out and saying, you know, I want to put myself in the best possible, you know, place to do that. I think, frankly, he's got the 20 goal number, you know, sort of, it's in his sights now, and he's got enough time to do it. What's he on, 18? Something like that. So I think there's every chance he can get to that, which that would be, you know, an incredible 17, sorry. That would be incredible for a Bournemouth player to do that. And frankly, I think if he does, the club has pound signs in their eyes as well, which means they're not going to want to rest him right now.
You think he could go this summer then?
I think there's a chance. I really hope he doesn't, but I can see a situation where he hits 20 goals and there are enough clubs that are interested in him because he's suddenly a 20 goal Premier League striker.
The suggestion on the outside is yours isn't a club that needs to sell.
No.
That's the understanding at the moment. Yours is in a no PSR issue whatsoever, complete control of where you're at. So it wouldn't be for that reason. It would be, I guess, if Solanke deems, right, I want to go and play for a club in Europe or something like that.
Yeah, or we got and so I would clarify, if he goes, it will be for a significant tranche of money that the club goes, well, hang on, you know, this is a bid we can't turn down. And then Solanke, you know, it's to a big six club that Solanke wants to go and play for. I think, you know, and I also think that the future of Bournemouth as a club is we want to be seen as a pathway for players like that to move on with their careers, much like Brighton are, right? So you don't want to be seen to be blocking those sort of moves, because suddenly you won't get the replacements in, because players will go, well,
yeah,
I don't
people
want to go
won't
there.
Necessarily come in the first place, because with all due respect, no one's coming thinking they're going to win a Premier League title.
No,
they see it as a career move. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, get that.
So yeah, and frankly, I mean, with the recruitment strategy that we've had, you know, let's say Solanke goes for 70 million, something like that. I think that you're not going to ask for much less than that. As you said, we've got no PSR pressure. That's 3-4 players for us that could improve us depth-wise. We've also got Unal as the replacement, sort of ready-made to go, I think.
Do you think that purchase was potentially made with that in mind?
I think it's with one eye.
Give him a 4-5 months acclimatisation to the squad, the league, the country, and maybe take it on next season. Do you think he would be good enough to be your starting forward?
Yeah, I mean, I've been incredibly impressed with him when he's come on. He, you can see the striker's pedigree there. Like he was the leading La Liga scorer, I think, last year or something. I haven't got the stats in front of me, but yeah, he's got pedigree there in a top league. He clearly knows what he's doing and knows where the goal is. The only reason we got him at the price we got him at is because he's coming off an ACL. So. We've taken a gamble there, but so far it seems pretty good.
Will you be captain Solanke this week now? Always thinking about it.
Yeah. There's part of me that, because I think he's I think he wants that 30 goals. And I think these two games will be critical for that, just because we have got some pretty tough games still to come. And I think, as I said, Villa will leave space for him at the back. And I think Wolves might be a bit of a spicy game, would perhaps fair to say, with some
why,
of the.
Why do you say that?
History.
Is that because of when you last played each other?
There's an element of that. And I think certainly I think the fans will see it that way. And, you know, sometimes when there's a bit of atmosphere going on, it transfers to the players as well.
Of course, I've just fallen in. I didn't even literally think. You can tell how much research I do for these podcasts. Gary O'Neill, of course, yeah. Bradley, right? So we're referring to the beef, partially because of the Lewis Cook red card, Neil, but also Bradley for Gary O'Neill, who very quietly and I think acted very appropriately afterwards and said, not bothered about it. He was bloody delighted to go and win that game at Bournemouth, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was an important time in the season as well, because we wasn't picking up that many points. Can't remember if we'd beat Everton before Andy that. I think we did, because I think Everton was his first win. So I think that was his second win. And it was away from home as well. But to be honest, I don't think it'll be that spicy. I don't think we're that bothered. I think we got over it. I don't think nobody cares, honestly.
No, it's fine. So you don't, I think part of the point of the question is, you don't think that there's any extra motivation that we'll see from your team next Wednesday because it's his old club?
No, I don't think so. I've not got that vibe, to be honest. Like, no one's really talking about it on Twitter or whatever. There's no, like, it's just another game there. I think the first match, yeah, because there was a lot of the media was like, they sat Gary O'Neill, he didn't deserve it, whatever. So,
and you hadn't won, yeah, right, at the time? Or maybe you'd won one, maybe?
I think we had one. It would, yeah. We were also in that, like, doldrums as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the feeling towards him now, Neil? Gary O'Neill, is there any resentment there? Is it they're thankful for last season? Or what's the feeling amongst the fan base?
I think the fans appreciate what he did, and I think that's fair and right. He did well for us. And I mean, personally, I think we perhaps did the best possible thing for him in letting him go when his stock was at the highest possible it was going to be from us. I think had he have gone in and had the start that Iriola had, I think some really serious questions would have been asked for him, and then he wouldn't have got the Wolves job. You know, he would have been in a queue, perhaps in a championship at best sort of role. I think what a lot of the fans perhaps resent, and it's not necessarily anything that he's done or is doing or even Wolves have done. I think it's like you said, it's this media narrative that sort of, you know, continuously or was at the time being sort of shoved down that we've done him dirty and, oh, look, we've sat the poor English manager. And, you know, there was a lot of kickback from that felt a little bit undeserved. So I think a lot of fans, that gets people's backs up, right, when you feel like your club's being attacked like that.
You're happy with Iviola, right?
Absolutely.
And Bradley, you're happy with Gary O'Neill, right?
Yeah, over the moon.
So everyone's so, won.
Exactly. It's a strange this isn't it? This is it. Like everyone's happy, and you know, I don't see anyone's loss from this, really.
Well, it might be Wolves if Gary O'Neill gets offered the Manchester United assistant manager job, Bradley, as I've seen muted around. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I just think it's a load of tosh. Why would you go from head coach to someone's lackey?
I don't know. I think that because it's Manchester United, it's a little different, isn't it? There's a lot of people have gone there as number two and then automatically then going into another managerial post further down the line. And it might even be as part of a succession plan for him to longer term be the Manchester United manager, possibly.
Bad career move, man. Don't
possibly,
do it.
But let's be honest, could he do any worse?
Yeah. Going there.
Could he do any worse than the person that's there is what I mean, as in for Manchester United, that's what I mean. Not could he do worse. Oh yeah, he could do worse.
He'll do better than him, but he's not, in that case he won't be the head coach, would he? He'd just be the assistant manager.
I'll take it from that perspective, Bradley, you're not remotely concerned about that at all.
No.
We did mention about Solanke, Bradley, and Neil saying, look, if a good offer comes and he wants to go, then that might happen in the summer. I would suggest, by the way, Neil, profile-wise, thumbs up from me, by the way. Your club will have to sell Bradley. I mean, it's fair to say.
Yeah, I think they'll sell one big player this summer, I think.
Well, the probable good news, as opposed to maybe 6 months ago, where it was kind of this general assumption, shit, it will have to be Neto. There's a number of different players it could be now, right?
Yeah, but because
a lot of players have really increased their value this season.
We'll shove Neto to the front of the queue.
Why?
Because he's a less available one. And we've learned, to be honest, most of the time we've learned to play a lot of the time without Neto. Having Neto has become a luxury in the team in a way, because we don't necessarily always know he's going to be there. So when he's there, it's like, yes, we've got him for how long? Then once he's gone, he's gone. But most of the time we've got used to playing without him. So it's not going to make that much of a difference in that fight, if that makes sense.
Has it become...
We've got used to it.
Has it become a sense of... I was going to say anger would be too strong, but I guess a strong frustration from Wolves fans with him.
Which not is with harsh, him.
Right? He's not getting injured on purpose, right?
Yeah, it's just a shame. It's just the way. It's just obviously the way his body's built. It's become clear now. He's had his first serious one was his kneecap, which is healed. That's fine, but it's become obviously apparent this season that his hamstring is prone to going, which you could probably understand with the speed he can run at, but. He's still a great asset for a top club, because he'll probably be looked after a bit better, I'd imagine, because he can be rotated. Whereas at Wolves, he's just shoved straight in.
Yeah, I mean, on top form, he's your best player, mate. Okay, go on. Who is?
To be honest, ain't Nuri or Cunha, to be honest.
Okay. Talk to me about Cunha first, because kind of ascertain that probably most people are either going to be on Solanke this week or are free hitting every chance getting him in because of how consistent he's been. Now, if it's a front two, a lot of people getting very frustrated with Darwin Nunes. Should everyone's free hit front two this week therefore be Solanke and Matias Cunha?
Yeah, why not?
What are you doing about it, Bradley? Is he going to be part of your setup or not?
Yeah, I'll have him. I'll put him in.
Neil?
So I've got 8 Nori at the moment. But yeah, I mean, possibly. I was just having a look at where I'm sat with them at the moment. So yeah, I'm in that frustrated Darwin camp at the moment.
You don't move it sideways though, do you?
No.
I suppose it depends on Darwin's minutes on Thursday night, as we covered on the main pod. Talk me out of it, Bradley. Is there any reason you could talk me out of it? Or is it, no, you want him, James, get him in?
Yeah, if you want him, get him in. He's going to start. He's going to start both games.
You've got nice space in. You've got the 4 days from Arsenal to the Bournemouth game. They're both at home, so there's no travel concerns from that perspective either. I guess the squad is thin enough for yourselves as well, especially Bradley, that he's just going to pick his best team in those two games, isn't he? And then I guess for 35 against Luton, if there's some tired legs, then maybe that's where the change would be. That's how I'm reading it at the moment.
Yeah, I'd have thought so. I'd have suspected he'll probably start Wang against Arsenal now. Maybe he's had a bit half an hour-ish. He looked okay. He didn't look like too sloppy. And it'll just give us some added threat again, because we're just Cunha by himself pretty much on Saturday.
So that's what puts me off Cunha most. He's Arsenal. Despite some inexplicable mistakes over the last week, the reality is they have been the best defensive team in the league this season. And I, like nearly everybody else, is going to have something Arsenal defensive this week. It feels conflicting to put him in. That's the big thing that I'm questioning.
We don't know if the heads are gone now. We'll have to see.
Obviously. I hope they lose their minds, personally. But I don't quite think it will be the case somehow, Bradley. And it's difficult to foresee him hauling against a side like that. But the second fixture is reasonable. I think there seems to be a general consensus that Wolves Bournemouth next week will have goals. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we pretty much score and concede every match now. So,
do you think you'll score against Arsenal?
I'm not going to be surprised. It feels like most home games we score now. I can't remember many games where we haven't scored, which makes a change.
Okay. Neil, do you see goals in that game next midweek?
Definitely.
And I'm guessing by what you're saying, you think the same in the Villa game.
Yeah, I can see, I can see both teams scoring in both games.
Okay. And I take it, Bradley, you're going to say the same for your two games as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's a given. I can't see a clean sheet. So if you've got eight Nuri, just pray for the attacking returns because there won't be a clean sheet.
Okay, let's talk about it. Obviously, time recording is Monday night. What do we know about the fitness situation with him? Because we think Gary O'Neill said he was going to travel with a squad to Forest. Do we know if that happened or not?
Yeah, he did. He did.
He did travel, but we don't know where we're at for this weekend as it stands.
He says he did train on the Friday, but then he felt something was a little bit off. He felt fine Saturday, but Aiton Uri's one of them players that when he's got like little knock, he won't play. So if we get the thing in the presser this week that he's trained fine all week, he should be fine to go.
Okay, more important, if we get that thumbs up on him, then there's a massive temptation. But depending on where he would play, with Huang presumably back, as you've said, Brad, does Aiton Uri stay in that offensive position as part of a front three, or have we got him at wing back?
He'd probably go back to wing back, I'd have thought, because Doherty's stuck there at the minute and he's just like stinking it up.
Why not just play Hugo Bueno there?
I don't know. He just seems to have not took to Hugo Bueno. Bueno looked all right when he come on again against Forest. He looks a bit sharper since that goal in the FA Cup, but he seems to be obsessed with shoving Doherty there.
I'll tell you the interesting thing. So we had this little thing for a while with Lamina playing as like a almost like left sided 10, sucks, basically. Yeah, yeah. Right. Then Tommy Doyle did it against West Ham. And then from what I watched Saturday night and I watched your game back, João Gomes did it at Nottingham Forest. So he's now tried all three of them, which they're basically central midfield players in that position. But the one thing, if Huang comes back in and joins Cunha, playing one of those three in the more advanced role and then Aiton Uri at wing back keeps them three good central midfield players all in the team. Is that your logic?
Yeah.
Because if he's going to play wing back, I don't want him, Brad.
We don't want him.
Not if he's going to play wing back. No. Mm. If he's going to play like we played against West Ham or against Burnley, yeah, I want him all day long.
I suspect he's more likely to play wing back now. I still think he'll probably play Sarabia as well.
Disappointing. Me and Neil both sat back in our chairs. Neil, what was you've got? Did you say?
Yeah.
You like fuck off, Brad.
Pretty much. Yeah. Because I've got a couple of other bits that I need to sort out for my bench boost. So I was hoping he was going to be a.
I mean, look, if you own him, it's clearly not a problem. But I think it's a debate to say if he's going to play wing back and the first game of. Is Arsenal. Like, what am I getting him in for? With respect, I'm getting him in for your team, Neil. And I've got, again, probably Solanke conflicting, going up against him. So, Neil, are we actually discussing the wrong left-back OOP here? Should it be Milos Kerkez, wide left midfield for Bournemouth, maybe?
Possibly. I don't think it's a ridiculous suggestion that you suggested on the main pod that he could be the left-winger here. Tavernier is out and... As far as I'm aware, he's done for the season, I think. I certainly don't see why we'd rush him back. Semenyo, as far I haven't seen anything to suggest that he's recovered yet. So then all of a sudden, you've got... And Sinisterra obviously came back and got injured straight away. So all of a sudden...
And Nutara got taken off, despite all that as well.
So all of a sudden, it's... Okay, who do we put out there? So, yeah, I mean, I'd quite like to see it, to be honest, because he looked quite, you know, he got into some really nice positions. He obviously clearly needs to have an attacking return at some point. It's been a shame that he hasn't got that so far, but I think he's been getting into the right positions. He nearly scored against Man U. So, yeah, I don't think it's the most ridiculous suggestion to say that he could be out of position. But, yeah, I mean, you need a couple of other things to fall into place. I definitely think he'll play, though, which I think is at least the starter point.
Okay. What needs to fall into place for this to be of serious interest, then?
I think we need to know that Semenyo is going to be out, because I think if he's back, you could always do something like moving Cliver to the left, Semenyo right, move and put Billing as the 10. It's not something he's done that much, but you could do it. He may prefer that over moving Kerkez up. And I also think you need to, we need to understand if Attar is injured or was he just brought off. He always struggles around this time of year because I think he really struggles with the fasting for Ramadan. We saw it again. We saw it last year as well. He sort of came off a bit off the boil at this period, and then he came back with a bang. So, you know, he may well be up there as well. I mean, so yeah, I think we need to understand exactly what's going on there, but we'll know that prior to team selections.
I wonder as well, though, because it's quite a challenging double, just on mm-hmm. the face of it, Villa away, Wolves away, two tricky fixtures. Does it aid the prospect of this happening rather than what you had before with Sheffield United and Luton at home? It's almost like, well, actually play him there on the left with Lloyd Kelly behind him, and Kerkez can go back and help out against Bailey, for example.
I also think you've got to, you know, we asked the question, are we on the beach? I think the answer is no, but we're also at a state part of the season. Why not? Like, you know, if you've got a player like that and you think, well, actually, he might be able to do this. Now's the time to get a bit weird with stuff like that, right? And to push him up and say, you know, go and have a go, because you don't know what you're going to find. And we've actually found that Iriola's quite good at doing that. Like Attara playing at left back, like no one saw that coming until all of a sudden he's
gone the other
good.
Way. No left backs. You might have two left backs on Sunday now.
Exactly. So I really wouldn't be surprised if we saw that. And I frankly would love to see it. I think he's got a lot of aggressive talents that I'd like to see more of.
So off the back of all that, if someone said to you, Neil, I want to put Kerkez in a free hit, what would you say?
I'd say go for it.
Over eight Nori?
I think so. Based on the conversation we've had previously, that Brad obviously thinks he's going to be dropping deeper. I think so.
But Brad, he'll be up against Nelson Semedo, Nico's cousin, won't he? So he's not going to get any change out of that, is he?
I'd be surprised if he does. Very good Semedo's being this season.
That was authoritative. That's about as confident as I've ever heard anyone sound about anything, Bradley, on TOTC. So you'd be like, no, Semedo will deal with it. No problem. Ignore that.
Yeah, Semedo's been really, really good. Honestly.
Neil, I'm going to ask you again. Kerkez or eight Nori?
Still going with it.
Good lad. Good lad. Would he be your defender of choice, Neil? If someone says, I want a Bournemouth defender, would you say, okay, yeah, let's gamble on this as a prospect, knowing that there is a serious risk that he might not even play at all, or at least start, let's say. Whereas, you know, with Senesi and Zabani particularly, you know exactly what you've got there.
I think it really depends on what your risk appetite is. I think Kerkez has the highest chance of going absolutely bananas. But I think Senesi has the lowest floor, if that makes sense. You're more likely to get an 8 point out of a double from him than you are Kerkez, I think. But you're more likely to get a sort of a, you know, 15, 16 points out of Kerkez.
Would you prefer the goalkeeper over both of them?
Well, I have both. Okay. I've kept with a Neto Flecken sort of rotation since my wild card a few weeks ago.
So if you were on free hit, one Bournemouth defensive, including the goalkeeper, who do you think you pick?
In my current position, where I am, which is sort of in the hundreds of thousands, mid-hundreds of thousands, I'd go Kerkez.
Okay. Bradley, same question for yourself. And again, just think for the free hitters here, whereas therefore price is basically irrelevant on this as well. Eight Nori, Saar, Dawson, what's the choice here?
Eight Nori.
Comfortably, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, as long as he gets the thumbs up on the minutes, obviously. If he doesn't, let's go the other way with this. What would the answer to that be then? If eight Nori was ruled out, what would your answer to that question be then?
Probably Saar.
Because
Dawson's done for the season, so...
Is he not fit now again? I know he didn't.
No,
he's
got to have a groin operation, I think. So
right.
He was only fit for 10 minutes on Saturday, if needed. But
Okay, so they might get that problem. That would make sense if he's carrying a problem with the position you're in the league. Yeah, get that gap fixed. That's a blow not having him defensively, right?
Massive blow because he's the organizer. That's why we look like a lot of, out of shape a lot of the time because nobody speaks to each other.
So here's what I got out of this: goalkeepers aren't terrible. It's almost like if you want one and you can't decide, then the goalkeeper's okay. But basically, otherwise, take the risk on the offensive left back, so we don't even know who's going to play right now. Have I got this right?
Yeah.
Yeah. For the benefit of those on the audio, they both smiled, nodded, and went, I'm not sure any of you actually want to do that. Nelson Semedo, Bradley, as the alternative?
No, he's not really got an attacking return in him.
Fine. And Neil, we're ruling out the right backs here, Smith and
yeah,
and
don't
Evans.
Go Smith.
Fine. Okay. What about Justin Kluivert, Neil?
Oh, I do like Kluivert, and he's, I think with all of the scenarios that we've spoken about in terms of who's injured, who's not, who might be about, Kluivert will, I mean, he's got to start both of these games, barring something himself. And I think he's looked really quite, I've been impressed with him this season. So took his goal very well. I mean, okay, defensively not great from Man U, but I think he took it very well. He took his, he's taken a couple of them really well recently, and he's always been up front with Solanke trying to sort of break through the sort of pair of them. So yeah, I like him a lot as an option.
I think for people actually buying this week, it's probably looking at Cunha, Solanke, and being serious, maybe Ait Nouri if there's the thumbs up. But otherwise, it's probably only the three hitters are looking to go new, probably either carrying stuff, not looking to buy. But with Kluivert, his price is interesting enough that you could gamble it this week and forget about him and leave him out for the rest of the season, couldn't you, Neil? With as a brilliant
Absolutely.
Kind of eighth attacker at 4.6.
Absolutely. I mean, that price, if he ends up just being on your bench for the rest of the season after this week, what have you lost? So yeah, and he will play. So if, as we get a little bit further down the season, you know, and players start to pick up knocks and, you know, might be ruled out all of a sudden, as we've seen in the past few game weeks, he'll come off your bench and play. So
can you foresee a scenario as it stands, Neil, that he didn't start both games in this double?
Short of something happening to himself, no.
Yeah, that's a big change, I think, from the game with 28 double, when we're looking at it and going, Luton, Sheffield United, these plethora of wide attacking wingers, all available, like, oh shit, which one? Exactly what we'd said when you came on with Dan Ashby. Who's going to start twice? I don't know. So that's actually a change. Now, I realise these are harder fixtures than what you had then, but that security of minutes is important. And we'd have to say, he's playing well.
Yeah.
He's returning.
But exactly. I mean, what more do you want from him? I mean, looking back the past four fixtures, 7 points Man United, 6 points versus Luton, 6 points versus Palace, 3 points versus Everton, and seven versus Burnley a few games further back. So, I mean, what more do you want there, really?
It's 19 in the last three, although I would suggest that Wolves and Villa are possibly better defensively than Palace, Luton and Man United. That would be the only argument against that. Palace fans are actually going to shoot me after they won at 1-0 at Liverpool at the weekend. I've said that. There was the good goal at Burnley a few weeks back as well. So, yeah, I mean, for 4.6 million midfielder, we said in pre-season, there'll be a point, Neil, where we're going to know which one of these kind of 5 million midfielders is going to really jump out at us. And each time we spoke to you, it was like, nah. And after 28, it was like, you're just going to have to forget that for the season now. He's actually landed back. I actually think it's a shame for him and his interest from FPL managers that free hitters aren't going to need the money this week.
Yeah.
Just not. And if they did, then I think we'd be talking about him as a real interesting option. But I can't see the need for me to go there when Solanke's there as well, Neil, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can't, you know, argue that. I mean, I've got my three Bournemouth, so I won't have him this week. But I really do not hate it as an option. If someone somehow has decided that they need to make a saving somewhere on a free hit because of, you know, I don't know, some crazy thing that they've come up with, there really is worse things you could do at 4.6.
Got Sarabia as well.
Well, yeah, Bradley, words out of my mouth. Is that the enabling midfielder that's going to get completely overlooked this week?
got a chance. He's a bit frustrating to watch sometimes, but I'm pretty sure he's still top of the chart. You know that other 14? I don't know if you see it on Twitter. For the chances created per minute. I think he still might be top of that. And he's our penalty taker if we get one.
Is he? Do we know that now?
I think so. I
Not
think
Wang
so.
or Cunha.
No, I think it's Sarabia, Cunha, then Wang.
Okay, that's interesting.
Sarabia's history of penalties in his career is very good.
Is there a chance he comes out the same?
I don't think so. I don't think there's no nobody else to
Well,
replace him.
I just mean on the point in terms of taking, obviously, Cunha's just come back. Wang may come straight back in the team, and then look, that's a strong front three again together, which is this is part of the idea, I think, as well, in terms of eight Nuri left wing back. But as previously said, this idea of a Lamina, a Doyle, or João Gomes playing higher could mean that maybe he missed out, or you go particularly maybe against Arsenal and go, right, we'll put all three of them as a flat of five and actually go 3-5-2 out and out. With, say, Cunha and Huang up front. That's got to be an option, I think, particularly against Arsenal, I would have thought.
It's an option, but he seems to start more often than not. I'd be on him probably starting, to be honest. I'd be more surprised if he didn't start.
So
Just because he's the
if
only real creator in the team at the minute.
you were buying an enabler this week as part two fund for a future move, Sarabia or Clivert Bradley?
Sarabia for the penalties and set pieces.
Yep.
I mean, I can't argue with that, as you know, that he's if he's on penalties, Kluivert certainly won't be. I think it would, or it perhaps comes down to if you for some reason need the point two, but I think, yeah, I mean, Sarabia is a decent enough shout for that, right? If that's where you're looking.
Bang, Bradley. You think you'll start Saturday?
I think he's got a chance, but the. I should play a bit off Irish. He's
I
got a
suppose
chance.
as the thing that's interesting with your double is as well is most people thinking about game two with respect to Neil's team just because it's
Yeah.
Arsenal on the weekend, right? So you
Thing is,
almost
Wang, we have got to, when I think about it more now, we have got to manage him a bit because he does have a history of being a bit like flaky.
yes, and also Cunha wasn't rushed back, and I wonder if with
Yes.
both players it's a legacy of what's happened with Neto as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be convinced that Huang starts against Arsenal. By the time the Bournemouth game comes, sure, but then looking at it even from that perspective, would he start Bournemouth on the Wednesday night and then Luton on the Saturday? You could even see
Manage the
this here where he
minutes.
sub starts Luton, couldn't you? I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's based on that. That's got to rule Huang out, I think, Bradley.
Yeah, I wouldn't have picked him at all, to be honest. I wouldn't have gone near him for this double.
So you'd go Sarabia if it was free hit, you'd go Sarabia over Huang now, would you?
Yeah, because
Okay.
Wang's history of the coming back from injury as well is a bit iffy.
Okay. That's pretty bold then to say because there'd be people holding Huang through and have been
He'll
waiting
get
for
the he'll
this.
get
Of course he
he
will.
might start one of the two, but
Well, I think it's probably more the point, unless people were holding for this and then wild card in 35. One of the real differences for you, Bradley, is your team's got a really good game week 35 fixture. And you think, right, well, I'd hold through for that one. Yours isn't bad either, by the way, Neil, at home to Brighton. But I think for Bradley, that particularly appeals with Luton's defensive issues in terms of personnel at the moment as well. You'd want to hold through for that as well. I can't see Huang playing Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday and starting them all.
No, he won't.
I don't think. Could you see Cunha starting them all? Is there any chance he's protected?
I think he'll be protected, but I think he'll be starting then coming off, probably for Wang.
Expected minutes for Cunha in the double, Bradley?
Over 60 in both of them. He'll start both of them. It'll probably come off. It'll probably come off in both of them, I'd have thought, but probably later on towards the match.
So probably sort of circa 140, roughly.
Yeah,
Across the
he'll get. Yeah,
270s on average,
he'll
something like
get good
that.
minutes. Yeah.
Okay. Neil for Solanke, expected minutes.
Yeah, probably 150. It depends on if we're still in the games. Like he's the past couple of games, he has been subbed off towards the end. But yeah, I mean, he'll be high enough, right, in there.
I think, Neil, I love him as a player. I think if there was really good alternatives this way, I'd be quite tempted to take him on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what I saw with my eyes at the weekend that I'm concerned. And I'm beginning to think, should you guys take him out for a game? Bearing in mind you brought another forward to presumably cover for this sort of scenario.
Sure.
I don't think that will happen, by the way. But I'm just a little bit conscious of it. But I almost feel like I'm a madman if I don't put him in. With him particularly, it feels. Despite the fact it's two away games.
Yeah, I think he's got every single chance to come away from those two games with two goals, one in each, and he's not a million miles away from anything else. I mean, he is penalty taker and all of that as well. And he's, as I said, the only reason I don't think we would rest him is he's chasing that 20. I think if he suddenly hits that, say he gets three over these next two, maybe you rest him for Brighton, but I don't see it.
Okay. To close, I'll ask you both the same question. Bradley, if someone asks you for free Wolves assets for free hit this week, which three?
Nuri, Sarabia, Cunha.
Neil for Bournemouth?
Kirkez, Cliver, Solanke.
Yeah. I can't particularly argue with either. A little consciousness on Sarabia, Bradley. And I think, Neil, to compare that again with Cliver, there's just no need to go there, particularly when I think I'm probably going to have the two front men from both of you. I think Cunha and Solanke, I think, are going to be both really, really popular this week. Thank you very much, gents. Really, really good insight on that. Let's do correct score predictions before we finish. And this is where everyone's opinion goes, well, hang on, he said. Bradley, Arsenal at home.
They'll probably lose 2-1, I think.
Neil, Villa away.
3-2.
So,
to us, just because you know I can't predict us to lose, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Can I just say, by the way, guys, that from the Tottenham perspective here, could really do with some favours this weekend, right? If you want, like, drinks and chocolates in the post and shit like that, I'm happy to get it arranged, honestly. But I don't know, I feel like I got a bit more chance from you, Neil, this weekend, I think. Hopefully Arsenal lose in Munich and then really wet the bed for the game next Wednesday, Bradley.
I'll say 2-1 us that time.
And Neil, Wolves away.
I think 2-1 sounds right, but I think we'll have it.
So is that you predicting you score 4 this week? Have I got that right, Neil?
Why not?
And for you, Bradley, was that 3?
3, yeah.
Yeah, they're both good enough, I think, to be able to rely to go on your consistent talisman through the middle. Thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it. Bradley, anything you want to plug before we finish?
No, I don't think so.
Good stuff. And yourself, Neil?
No, nothing from me.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Neither of you got that brown envelope in the post this week, so that's absolutely fine. Tomorrow is the Sky Fantasy Football Podcast, and we've got one more COTC for you, which will be a late release, late Friday afternoon / Friday evening, Everton versus Liverpool with Sean Norton and Dan Lord. I will be there as peacemaker. Thank you both very much. Bradley, Neil, good luck, particularly this weekend. Cue music, please. Man sharp.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.